Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that we can go to your word to receive. Lord, we just rejoice that we know, Lord, that by your word, Lord, all the things that you have provided for us, we will be able to receive. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so remember that we have been talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit being in us to enable us to do the things that God calls us to do and to enable us to receive what God has provided for us. It's His desire for us to receive all His promises. Promises of God, a yea and amen, in Christ Jesus. And that's one of the key issues, in Christ Jesus, so that we may be able to give glory to God through what we do. Actually, we bring glory to God as we receive from God, because it's His desire for us to receive. Yet, often there are hindrances for us to receive, and really the only hindrance that is there is unbelief. Jesus rebuked for his apostles, his disciples. You know, we don't see any other thing that essentially said to them or into the same degree, but what he repeated often is, "You have little faith." And they were with him. They saw what he was doing. They saw the type of results that he was getting. And he expected them, seeing his reactions, to be able to have a different level of faith. Last week, we were finishing the message with, the idea of developing strong faith. Strong faith gives glory to God because really enables him to do the things he wants to do in the first place. See, we don't force God to do anything with our force, well, with our strong faith. What we do is we actually allow him to do what he wants to do because he's limited by us in what he can do today. You know, there are factors that come into the picture. Really, to be able to connect with God, we had to walk in the Spirit. That means, you know, we had to be connected with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has to work through us so that He can manifest His power in His life, through our spirit, to our body, through our actions, to our activities, and so on, so that we can minister His Spirit to others or to ourselves if we need to receive ourselves. The part that is, we saw that is really the major hindrance is our mind, our soul, that needs to be regenerated, need to be renewed by the Word of God to the place where we become more, the Word of God and what happens in the Spirit, it becomes more real than what happens in the physical world. This is not an easy thing to do because that's what we are trained from when we are born. We are trained to operate according to our soul, to our mind. And this is the transformation. See, the transformation that took place when man fell was that his mind was not connected anymore with God, but was connected with the enemy or the world around him. I'm not going to go through all that, but I want to just start from there. See, we need to be able to set our mind on the things of the Spirit rather than on the things of the flesh and start living according to the Spirit instead of according to the flesh, as it said in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Okay. Now, the other thing that we have to remember is that although we may be born again, our soul is not completely changed needs to be updated with the Word of God, or reprogrammed if you want. Okay. But the way we naturally are, even if we are born again, there is still a component in us that is unregenerated. And that part opposes anything that has to do with God and the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says very clearly, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay. So what we have to do, our soul has to learn to do, is to start operating in that way. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual realm. Okay, the problem that we often experience, if we realize it or not, is the influence of the culture we are in. See, in some countries, somebody can preach there and there are many more miracles are received than here in North America. And why is that? Because they have a different culture. Now we have to understand that this is such an important thing. You see, we are in a heathen culture here in North America. What culture is defined as a social behavior and norm and values and beliefs found in general with the people around us. These things influence us, affect us the way we think, if we like it or not. Even if we take a position against them, they still have effect on us. So they modify the way we respond to different things. We had to change. You see, the natural laws are the one that determines the way the culture is determined, the natural man, for the natural man. See, the things that normally actually happen in the nature are the things that most people can only, the only thing they can relate to, not to the spirit world. And because of that, then, you see, we also tend to operate according to the things that are natural, when instead we are expected to operate in things that are spiritual or supernatural. We need to learn, or we need to relearn to operate. You see, we need to see today, even, you know, even good teaching or good spiritual, you know, Christian teaching or theology, you know, is always based, or mostly based, even the Christian church in North America is mostly based as an intellectual activity rather than a spiritual activity. And because of that, you see, the intellect is the result of the soul, is not the result of the spirit. And we had to change that. See, Jesus' life and the early church life, the experience that they had was regularly an experience that was not natural, but supernatural. And that was much more than what was experienced in the Old Testament. I mean, in the Old Testament, there were some gigantic things taking place, you know, like the crossing of the Red Sea and other, you know, the walls of Jericho falling down. But really, you know, these things were things that happened just once in a while. In the New Testament church and in the life of Jesus, miracles and signs and wonders were the things that were a daily activity, a daily experience for everybody. This should not be changed, should be the same today, because there is nothing changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if there is a change, it's because we have allowed this culture of the world today to change the way we perceive things, the way we deal with things, the way we react to things, even in our soul. And we have to take a position for that. We want have to take a clear ideas, you know, to respond or to react or to fight against and overcome the external influences that produces these results on our Christian experience. We need to say no to the influences that come to us. Identify them and delete them from our lives so that we can start operating no longer in a natural way, but in a supernatural way. Because this is what God wants from us. This is what Jesus' message was. This is what, you know, he wasn't just because he was God. He was operating fully as a man when he was down here. And he was our example for so that we will be able to work the same way and even do greater work than what he said in John chapter 14. Well, this is the way he's expecting us to do. This is what will be pleasing to you. That's what we had to shoot for, not to be just plain church. Hello? So we need to take that position. We need to take a stand. We need to take an attitude to react against these things that influences us. You know, in Psalm 78, verse 40 says, how often they provoked him, God, in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. We are limiting God today. Because God wants to do much more than what we see him doing today. God wants to operate the same way as operated with Jesus with us. This is what Jesus said to us. See, the problem with Israel was that they did not believe. They did not trust God. They had been, they were just exposed to the world. They've been in Egypt. Well, we are in Egypt today, even if it's called Canada. So the idea is that we had to do something. See, even Jesus himself, when he went to Nazareth, you remember? He had problems there doing, just in, for example, there are in two places, the gospel says in Mark chapter 6, verse 2 says, and when it was the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which he gives to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Evidently, he hadn't done yet the mighty work, but he knew about he was doing it. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sister here with us? So they were offended by him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and his own house. And later on, the following verse says, but now he could not do mighty work there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. So it's not that he couldn't do because his power wasn't working. Is the people didn't believe him. They were offended, so they didn't even go there. But the people that he put his hand on, they were healed. You see, the fact that there is unbelief doesn't stop us from being able to operate in the power of God. If we have the power of God. If we have not influenced by unbelief ourselves. And he was not influenced by unbelief because he could still heal people by laying hand on them, but only a few went there because the other one were offended. God is bigger. Our God is bigger. The Holy Spirit is bigger, more powerful than all the unbelief and the forces of darkness around us. But we have to take a position not to be influenced and not to be affected by the things around us, to be able to operate with the power of God inside us. We had to take a stand. Hallelujah. See, we are in a heathen culture. We had to develop a kingdom of God culture for ourselves. See, that's a completely different paradigm, different way of thinking, different way of connecting with the world around. See, Jesus went around, you know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 35, went around about all the cities and villages, teaching all this in the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. See, I really think that today we mostly preach the gospel of forgiveness instead of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Hello? Silence here. But that's true. I mean, forgiveness is a part of the gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom is much more than just forgiveness. And we have to connect with the truth, and we have to establish a culture, at least in the church, in which people think kingdom and not world. See, Jesus said very clearly, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We shouldn't seek after the world. We shouldn't even allow the world to change the way we see things. Instead of being offended when things that are going are out of the ordinary, that means that are supernatural are taking place. That's what we should be expecting all the time. Amen. You see, our expectation is important. See, there are, you know, and these things happen not just by chance. There is a spiritual world and a physical world. We are used to the physical laws and think according to the physical law. You know, if you think, well, you know, if you walk off a roof, you break your neck. Is that true in the spirit world? Jesus walked on water. This is not because he was operating according to the physical law, but he was walking according to the spiritual law, and he was actually walking on, not water, on his faith. Water had nothing to do. Water or no water, he could walk anyway. Hello? So the idea is that we have to start operating in such a way that we have such a strong faith in which we can do things the way he did them. And that's what his desire is. This is the way to please him. It's not just to be just pious and religious. You know, religion comes, and the word religion, by the way, is from a Latin word, religo, which means to bind. You probably never heard that before. It's bondage. All right? All right. That's an extra. I don't have much time. So we had to start learning to operate according to spiritual laws, not according to the natural laws. We should think in terms of spiritual laws. And so, first of all, we have to start knowing the spiritual laws. And the Bible is where we can find out. And they're not really indicated, log number one, number two, number three, and so on. You know, they're spread throughout the book. And we had to find them, and we had to appreciate them, and we had to apply into our lives so that we can operate according to them. You see, it's a question that the laws are there. But if we walk in the flesh, we are not going to walk according to those laws. We are going to walk according to the natural laws, because the flesh is connected to the physical world. You know, people say, well, you know what? You don't know won't hurt you. That's completely false. You know, what you don't know can kill you. All right? What we had to know instead is to go to the Word. The life, the Word is this Word of life there. There is the Word of power, the Word, everything that we need. There are the spiritual laws there so that we can learn and so that we can start operating by them. And you know, the spiritual laws are the opposite of the physical laws. I mean, if you trying to make money in the world that says, get. The spiritual law is given, shall be given unto you. See, at the opposite. You know, the physical world says if you want to be important, you need to, you know, make yourself and pump yourself and, you know, show up. The world says, you know, if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. So you see, you just everything is upside down. And if the church is trying to operate according to the worldly values and worldly laws, the result is the church is an upside down church. Instead of achieving the results that God wants us to achieve, we achieve nothing because we are not even be able to operate in the world because God cannot be behind us. Are you following me? This is not amen, it's ouch. All right. Jesus said some things that, you know, this verse we should have printed inside our head or keep it there. I mean, just make sure that we never forget it. Jesus said in Matthew 9:23 and in other places too, you know, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. You know, it seems so simple. The thing is not simple for people that are operating in the world, according to the law of the world. Believing is much more than just agreeing with the ideas. It has to be much deeper than that to be able to operate in the spiritual realm. But when we do that, and we are going to take this scripture and apply it, try to identify the key laws that are spiritual laws that we have to operate by to be able to achieve what God once said that we should be able to achieve. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. To in Christ. Okay. To the glory of God the Father through us. Hallelujah. So you see, we bring glory to God. It's not a selfish thing to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added. I mean, this is a carte blanche. I mean, we got everything that we need. But we had to operate that way. We had to learn to operate that way. We had to reject the operation according to the law of the world and start walking according to the spiritual law that Jesus and the Bible indicate and shows us. Okay. When we do that, the results are going to be what he said he should be getting. In Matthew 16:17, he's saying there, you know, in this sign shall follow those who believe. I mean, not those who call themselves Christians. There is a big difference there. Those who believe. You know, we should not limit the Holy One of Israel because we don't believe, because we are influenced by the culture we are in. We had to establish for ourselves a kingdom culture. Jesus went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, when he said it was going to be, I mean, let me finish reading this. I mean, I'm trying to squeeze in, you know, a long sermon into just a few minutes here. It's not easy. Okay, so, you know, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpent. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say maybe. So the idea is this is the expectation. And you know what it says in the following verse? You know, this is actually two verses after, verse 20. And they went out preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the sign accompanying them. Amen. That's, you know, this amen to say there. You know? Okay? See, this is what is expected. You know, there is a bunch of people that don't want to have this verse in the Bible. You wonder why? I mean, they're uncomfortable. All right? I mean, it just doesn't fit for their experience. But nothing has changed from them to now. The same thing happened to us. You know, we should expect daily to experience supernatural events in our lives as believers. And we should expect every Sunday to have spiritual experience or miracles and signs and wonders happening in the church. But it does, they don't happen if the environment, if nobody believes anything. If the church is like Nazareth. Hello? I mean, you have a word of knowledge. Nobody comes up because, you know, I got prayed 10,000 times. Hello? Instead of being ready, see, this is a word of knowledge, jump to go and get it. Because there is a component there that has to do with the violence that we had to exercise against the enemy. Are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Last week, to give you an example, we prayed. I had a word of knowledge on the problem with the heart. Somebody, there was at least one person I know that was instantly healed. Our problem is gone. So there. Okay? So instantly, everybody can receive that if they jump at the chance. You know, our sister here was sharing about the woman with the issue of blood. She said before, if I touch by earth his garment, I shall be healed. And she had a position it took, and she went for it, even if that meant that she had to do things that she could have stoned, could be stoned for. Hello?
Yeah.
She went there and she got it. Because, you know, our faith, we had to learn to exercise our faith. We had to learn to exercise strong faith. Because Jesus wasn't pleased with people with weak faith. And the time we are in, if we realize it or not, if you have no strong faith, you are going to have really a tough time. You can just be anymore the way in the past. You know that Christianity, you know, Christians are going to be more and more persecuted. There are more martyrs today, Christian, than the time that, you know, everybody talks about the Roman times and stuff. It was nothing compared to today. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are persecuted and killed today. Nobody talks about them. We had to learn to stand and to operate the way Jesus operated. See, he went, when they wanted to throw him, you know, down the edge of the cliff there, he just walked through them. That certainly requires some faith because they were mad at him. So, well, I had to close. But we're going to continue next week. We want to create a culture, a kingdom culture. That means when you come to church, you come expecting miracles to happen.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, you say, what's the miracle I'm going to experience today? What are the signs and wonders that I had to make? You know, the signs and wonders follow the believers. Are you a believer? Well, then expect. You see, one of the things that has been almost neglected. Everybody talks about faith, but not many talks about expectation. And that, without expectation, faith cannot work. You know, I want to make sure I say it right. Yeah, faith, Hebrew 11:1, and I close with this. I hope that you think about it for the week. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, things hoped for. You see, people think that hope means, you know, well, I wish that it would happen. No, Christian hope is not a wishing something. It's confident expectation. It's trust. It's not just desire that something happened. So the fact is, see, otherwise, if there is not confident expectation, your faith has nothing to substantiate. So you have to expect confidently, because you trust God and you trust His promises. And He said, this is it, and so that's it. And you go there with expectation that, yes, I'm going to get it because He said He would get it. Amen. Well, I don't want to get in trouble. Yeah, I had to close. Don't give up. And when you come to church, come with confident expectation. When you wake up in the morning, have confident expectation, even if the weather is not nice. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Well, I squeezed things together, but I said a few things. It took longer, 15 minutes. There you go. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. But I wanted to pray for people with fear, because the Lord spoke to me about doing that last night. So that wasn't just my idea. If you believe and hold on to that, that thing is not going to come back.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord, to break bondages. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can walk in the supernatural, because you are a supernatural God. And the law of nature, you are a specialist in overcoming them, because you created them in the first place. I just thank you and praise you, Lord, and believe, Lord, that you are going to guide us so that we can actually establish in this place a culture of the kingdom of God, so that miracles and signs and wonders are ordinary things that we experience every day. In Jesus' name, amen.